everyone, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Now, I always say he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit because I want to honor him. I can't do this without him. And he's given me revelation that have blessed me and shown me things to help me love his people. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't learn much from the Lord till I asked him to teach me how to love his people. And those that have heard me for a while, I learned how to love people when I almost got in a fight with a guy. And I was so angry, I was going to fight. People had gathered around at the dealership to see if this fight. It started on the inside and it ended up outside. We didn't get to fighting and cussing and fussing yet. This was back in 87, and I went to my lowest point, my weakest moment. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Everlasting love to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil." Now, just hearing the word, like we said in the last broadcast, hearing God say that to me, it strengthened my heart. I didn't want to fight the guy, but I was so angry and I had gotten so weak that that's what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And at my weakest moment, before I said anything, because if you say something, if you ever get in a heated conversation, if you say it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Well, when he said that to me, "Everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil," my heart was charged with that word, just like it is with the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Man, you know what? I'm going to go get us a drink and we're going to talk about it." And that's what I did. When it got a grape of cold, we were good after that. But I said, after that day, I thought about what happened. I said, "Lord, I got to a weak moment, and that's going to happen again." Mm-hmm. Now, I grew up fighting. If somebody took, older guys would try to take your mini bikes, and I learned how to fight. Mm-hmm. Then I was trying to let all that old stuff go. Now, I said, "I know that this is not over. I'm going to do this again unless I learn something." And I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people. Mm-hmm. Now, in those days, I listened to a wonderful man of God named Charles Capps that taught you confessions. And I used to say, by faith, that I love God's people. Mm-hmm. And I wanted him to teach me how to love man. Because if I could love man, I could do anything. Mm-hmm. I wanted to love people that I know didn't like me. Because I wanted to win people to the Lord. I found out that once people believe on Jesus, they are not the same. Right. That became my greatest desire for not only people that I cared about, but people that I know didn't like me. Right. And the Lord, I learned more from the Lord after I started endeavoring to love his people. And he taught me things about people. And it motivated me. And it, the Proverbs 15, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." And I practiced those things, those techniques about love that made a difference. And the Lord, the Lord rejoiced about it. He used to wake me up and talk to me about things because he knew I loved his people. Amen. And he would show me things about people, personal things. And I would never betray what he told me. I would only use the knowledge to bless other people with. And he would show me how to minister to people. And that makes the difference. That's why I say the Lord is moving by his Spirit. Because if you love people, you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit has a lot to say to you. The Word of God, just like Brother Taylor said in the last broadcast, we don't just read the word to learn knowledge. It feeds our spirit, man, so we can do greater things. Now, with this in place, people are going to be rude. But remember, one of the things I learned is people are under attack. Just like the enemy tried to attack your life, he tried to attack their life, and to get to start a strife fire. So that, a lot of evil things happen when people get in strife with one another. People that were once close friends, the enemy wants to destroy that relationship. And I'm going to tell you something else, and it's true.
Right, right.
Every relationship that can bless you and your family, the enemy wants a dividing line somewhere.
Amen.
And it not only in your life, but in every person's life.
Right.
He don't want a family to be to have fellowship with a strong church. He don't want a husband to have a healthy, godly marriage with his wife. He wants that marriage to be bitter mm-hmm. in time so the children will believe that nobody can have a good marriage.
That's right.
But that's not true. If people do it God's way, they'll have a wonderful marriage. And I came from a neighborhood where people had good marriages.
Right.
My parents is the reason I wanted to be married. And when I used to ride my mini bike around the street, I saw husbands sitting outside talking with their wives, watering plants, watering the grass, and they were in harmony. I didn't see anybody throwing bottles at each other. That happened when I got old. I never seen nobody bring somebody back home drunk in a wheelbarrow. I seen stuff like that when I got old. But in the neighborhood I came from, it wasn't that way. And I know how beautiful life can be. And it all comes from the love of God. Now, the love of God is what makes it all work. Loving God, the way we love God is the way we love man. And 1 John teaches us that. 1 John, 2 and 3 John teaches us how important love is. Now, he wrote this in his old age.
Yes, he did.
After much experience.
Right.
Now, the Lord has so much to say to us. And we're going to get there. We're doing another broadcast, and I got a wonderful guest with me again, Pastor Lamont Taylor. And he's a wonderful man of God. If you live in the Bessemer area, and even if you don't, if you're looking for a good church home, it's right here in your backyard. The address to Living Word Christian Center. Pastor Lamont Taylor is the pastor of Living Word Christian Center. It's right here on 15th Street, 2606 15th Street Road in Hewittown, Alabama. The zip code is 350323. The telephone number is 205-701-5922. And I'm going to give this information at the close of this radio broadcast. Now, the Lord has so much to say, and he put things in the heart of his pastors that love his people. And with the love of God, things change. When you think about loving people, sometimes the enemy will come and say, well, if you love people, they're not going to do you right. Mm-hmm. They're going to take advantage of you. And some people will, but there's a healing property if you love people.
Amen.
Anyway.
Amen.
You're going to see a healing. See, remember, salvation comes to us in seed form. It grows in our heart. We believe on Jesus. That changes everything. We get a brand new spirit. We fill our heart with the Word of God. We start learning from it. We have a desire and strong passion to love other people. And we see their needs. We see what God can do in their lives. And that's what we want. That's what we're after.
Amen.
With that in place, you're going to grow. And things are going to be totally different. What the enemy is trying to hide something from you. That's what I'm trying to expose. He's trying to hide God from you. But me and Brother Taylor, we're going to tell you the truth about this thing. Now, the next voice you hear is that of Pastor Lamont Taylor. Brother Taylor, tell him what's on your heart.
Well, and you did a great job. When you're speaking about the love of God, what I have come to understand, you know, I've always heard that word all my life, love, 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 love. Mm-hmm. And it's even gone as far as to say that love is the most important thing that's found in the Word of God, and it is very important. When Paul talks about it, he says, now about it, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these things is love. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I have really come to find out, even mm-hmm. in my own life, is that in every relationship I have, mm-hmm. I have to define what does love look like. Mm-hmm. If I don't have to define it, I have to refine it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I even tell the members of Living Word Christian Center, I said, you know, we have to refine or we have to define what love looks like in every avenue of our life. That means, what does love look like in the local church? Mm-hmm. What does love look like in the family life? Mm-hmm. What I've come to find out is that the way that love may look to me is not necessarily what someone else needs at the moment.
Yeah.
Love is really going after what that person needs at the moment, not my own agenda, not my own ideas. Because when you talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, mm-hmm. when Paul gives you the attributes of love, patient, kind, long-suffering, joy, he goes through the list of what love is. But one of the things that I find out, he's telling us how love is really a great motivator.
Yeah.
And whatever you do, love should be your motivation mm-hmm. for doing that thing. Yeah. Now, what do I mean by what does love look like in the local church? And, you know, some people would say that love is love is love is love. Well, let me ask you this. If your church was in a building program and you know they need you in mm-hmm. that building program, mm-hmm. is that the right time for you to leave that local church?
Mm-hmm.
What does love look like?
Yeah.
You know, if your church is having a program, mm-hmm. you know that they need you in that program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you say, oh, not today? And I understand there has to be a balance to this, because on the other mm-hmm. side of this, sometimes churches, and here again, we mm-hmm. as the church, we got to redefine, and we also got to define, sometimes we're doing too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to look at that and say, okay, do I love the people enough that, hey, we don't need to do a 3-day seminar, let's do a 1-day seminar, mm-hmm. and let's do it during these hours. Love takes on the flavor of God when it's best interest is in the interest of other folks.
Yeah.
So I cannot do that which I want to do in the interest of myself. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day now where you really can't do church the way you did it 20 years ago and expect it to go off. You have to do things because people have changed.
Yeah.
And just because people have changed, I didn't say change the message. You please get what I'm saying. let me say it backwards and maybe you'll get it. Transportation is transportation. But I'm not going from here to Birmingham in a horse and buggy.
No.
I'm not going from here to Birmingham in a Model T. If I'm going to travel from here to Birmingham, I'm going to try to travel in a modern car with air conditioning and heat on the inside.
Yeah.
Even though the method has changed, the mode or the operation is still the same. That's basic there. And that's really what it is with the Word of God. Sometimes things have to change because you're living in a different generation right now. You're living in a different day. And if you don't know the language of the people that you're talking to, and I advise you, an old book that, you know, been out, The Five Love Languages, just read up on how that you can speak the language of your local church, whether it's the language of your local church, the language of your spouse.
Mm.
Learn how to speak her language, okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sometimes what we think somebody wants, they may want something
different. They may want something different. And you find that out in dealing with love. And see, that's one of the things that I have to challenge myself on the love walk. What is in the best interest of my children?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I think that some communication is not as clear. And that's very funny to me because we got more communication devices today than ever before. We have the cell phone. Mm-hmm. We're able to text. We're able to email. We're able to do certain things. But then at the same time, we're communicating less than ever before. But when I'm interested in the love walk, I have to look at my children. And one of the things that my children likes to do, they like to text.
Yeah.
I look at them and I'm like, okay, wouldn't it be easier to just pick up the phone? But their love mode is, Daddy, we're texters. And I'm like, okay, I try my best to text. And they laugh at me, but that's their love language. So I said, okay, let me do what's in the best interest of you.
Yeah. You know, learning people's what they love and how to relate to them, the Holy Spirit helps us with it.
Amen.
To see them, you know, we see them. And that's why our strong relationship with the Lord is so important. Now, I want to give you the address again. Living Word Christian Center. Pastor Lamont Taylor is the pastor at Living Word Christian Center. It's right here in Hewittown. 2606 15th Street Road, Hewittown, Alabama, 35023. The telephone number again is 205-701-5922. That's 205-701-5922. And I thank Pastor Taylor for it. He has a lot to say. He's a blessing. My brother-in-law goes to church here, and they always have good things to say about the pastor and the church, and it's a blessing. And, you know, as we go forward, the Lord has given us pastors after his own heart.
Amen.
Now it's your job to find them. Pray where God, you know, ask the Lord where he will send you. And let him, when he give you the dream or when he give you the guidance that you're after, trust him and go forward.
Amen.
That's important. Now, good pastors are going to tell you to love. They ain't going to let you be lazy. They're going to give you something to do. But it's not, as you fulfill needs, you're storing up blessings in heaven. God's going to bless you for your works. And I'm going to tell you something else about working for the Lord. You want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord first called me to the ministry, I asked another guy, Earl Evans was his name. I said, what's it like when the Lord called you? He said, well, when the Lord called, first you have a desire in the heart. It may, mm-hmm. you know, not your mind, but your heart.
Right.
And then he'll call you and you're going to try to run. But you have that desire and then next thing you know, he called you. I didn't want that. I wasn't interested in being a pastor till the Lord gave, not a pastor, but a minister, until the Lord gave me my first message.
All right.
When I saw that he would give me what to say, that's when I got interested. I was all on board. Before that, I was reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand. My dad joined World War II running from the Lord. And he was in China, and he got underwater for a very long time. And when the Lord got him out, he went straight to the chaplain, and he started preaching and didn't quit till the day he died. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
He Amen. Said he got on a bus, and a lady pointed at his nose and said, you're going to live. God going to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back. And, you know, he even said on the way back, all the warships left and the transport ships didn't have any defense. And they went the next day and all those warships got sunk, but they made it.
Mm.
And he knew then, he said, I'm not going to complain when I'm late or when the Lord has his hand on my life. I'm gonna let God do his business. But you learn things over the years. Good pastors have a lot to say, and there's no need to miss out on the goodness of God.
Amen, amen. You know, when you're talking about the love of God, I also think about painting a wall. And I know this is an illustration, and you said, well, where are you going with this? When I say the word love, that's really a broad brush that I'm painting with.
Wow.
But then when I get to the individual or the individual church or the individual person, the individual relationship, there's some specific things that I can do to really define my love for that person.
Yeah.
So I have to look at it in a different light. Brother Hammy, I remember years ago, this brother told me about supporting a missionary.
Yeah.
And the support for the missionary, it was about to stop. And this brother said something that really revolutionized my life about the life of love. He said, Lamonte, I have to look out for that other person. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm not just going to stop my supporting of the missionary without him knowing about it.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give him 3 months. So I'm going to write him a letter to let him know that in 3 months, the funds would stop. That way that brother would be better prepared.
Yeah.
You see where he's going with this?
Right.
He said that way he'll be better prepared that when I do stop funding him on the mission field, he'll know that, okay, I can expect this. But he said if I just pull out right now, he said he's really banking on these funds right now. He was looking out for the other person's interest. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, love will always take that extra step. I'm going to tell you, love will also do one thing that I think a lot of people don't want to recognize about the power of love and the spirit of love. Mm-hmm. And that is go beyond what you know how to do to make sure that person is safe and secure and make sure that they are all right. Sometimes love has to really solidify the relationship. I'm just going to speak from human terms. Mm-hmm. You may be the person that always apologizes. You do have people out there that do not apologize. I'm just going to be honest with you. They abound in the Christian life, amen? There are people that will rub you the wrong way and think nothing of it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I myself see that that's a part of that person's heart. Because if you cannot tell someone else you're sorry when you're wrong or I repent, you may not be telling the Lord Jesus Christ that you're repentant also, okay? A lot of times what we do in our personal lives is just an overflow of what we're doing in our spiritual lives. Yeah. And you got some renegades out here, my friend, that will rub you the wrong way and think nothing of it. But the love of God, I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. Sometimes the love of God will constrain you.
Yeah.
It will keep you from saying things and doing things that you want to say and do. And it will bring you back and say, look, it got to be something else that's going on in this person's life. Look, they just don't know no better. Look, they having a bad day. It could be something that the love of God will constrain you to say, hey, don't make this into a bigger mess. What you need to do is resolve it. I think it's very interesting. And that when Jesus talks about the issue of love and forgiveness, he puts the personal responsibility not on the person all times that does the wrong, but he puts the responsibility on the person that knows that wrong has been done unto them or that person has wronged them. Watch what he says. If you know your brother has ought against you when you pray, you go and ask him for forgiveness. Now, I would think that if my brother got something against me, that's his problem. But Jesus says no. You go to your brother and you ask them for forgiveness. Yeah. And then he also says this, and this is something I share with my children. I said, it's so funny that Jesus talks about consequences sometimes if we don't love right. He talks about that, look, if you know that you're out of the way with someone, he says, what you need to do, you need to go and make that thing right, because he can deliver you to the magistrate, and the magistrate delivers you to the prison. And he said, I tell you, you will not come out until you pay the othermost farthing. So here we see that Jesus has the responsibility, no matter what's going on in your life, I have a personal responsibility to guard my heart to make sure I'm walking in the love of God.
That's right. You know, and it's, and when you think about loving people, some people will say, is it worth it? I'm going to tell you, it is. The more I love people, the more I saw how wonderful it really, things worked out. Some people that that were an adversary before, I loved them anyway, and we became friends. People have gotten saved. People have, you know, the Lord told me this. He always gives you something to make a long story short. He said, if you love people, they'll respect you. They may not like you. They may not want to be around you, but if you love them, they will respect you. And then he said, and if you live a holy life, they'll trust you. If you pure towards people, if you do what's right by people, a life of integrity, you do what's right when nobody's looking, they will trust you. And if you do what's wise, you will hold their attention. And I'm going to tell you something about rapport. The Holy Spirit can use it. The way you are, if you're genuine in your integrity and the way that you handle things, when things go wrong in your life, you don't fall apart, you don't swear and curse and throw books at folks. You handle things in a godly fashion. You do things God's way, and you're consistent. When they have a need, which they will, because Satan is busy, guess who they're going to come and ask? people don't like to tell you their business. They try to keep their dirty laundry a secret.
Right.
Whatever they're going through, whether it's somebody, if their spouse is cheating on them, if they're going through a divorce, they know people are going to find out, but they don't want to talk about it. Only the people that they know care about them. And when you care about people, they know it. And when you love people, you're going to be the go-to guy when they have a problem. And now all that word you've been hearing from your pastor, the Holy Spirit is going to bring it back to your remembrance, and you're going to be able to minister to that person where they need it. See, the Holy Spirit is going to help you do this. I've seen it too many times. And sometimes the Lord will use me to say the right thing at the right time, and I have to be honest. I would have totally forgotten what I heard 5 or 10 years ago, and it comes right back when the Holy Spirit needed it. That's the power of a good church home. Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, when you look around and your children are graduating college, you're not the only one that helped them do it. The network.
Right.
The everybody that encouraged them, that the church family, that you know, amen, it all works together.
Amen. Amen.
See, we think of what we can do, our power, but the Lord thinks of everything.
Right, right.
And if anybody's out there that can say a word to you that's a blessing to you, if you're wise enough to receive it, you're that much further ahead.
Amen.
Now, some people, they're in pride. They don't want, they only listen to people that they approve. People that they, I've been around people, they look up. Mm-hmm. If they look up to you, they're here.
Right.
But don't you know that all of the knowledge of God is a grace to us?
Amen.
The anointing of God. God can, you know, there are wonderful men and women of God out there doing wonderful things. And they're anointed.
That's good.
The reason they are anointed is because the anointing is a grace to us. It right. was given.
Right.
We didn't earn it.
Right.
God, now, the least of the people in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, who was greater than every prophet.
Right.
He's the prophet that introduced Jesus, but he died before Jesus died for him.
Right.
Jesus himself said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now, that means anybody that believed on Jesus, the Lord at any time can give them what to say to be a blessing.
Amen.
If you're listening for his voice, you're going to hear it. It don't matter who he uses. And a lot of people miss out because they're looking at the person, not the Holy Spirit that's giving the person what to say.
That's a big problem that, and I call it personality preaching and personality teaching.
Mm-hmm.
If the word of God, and this is a good way to show your love, because a lot of times, you know, a preacher or somebody would come out of the pulpit and preach a good sermon, and people sitting around talking about the sermon they had heard on television or on the radio or something like that, and, you know, here you got this man or woman of God standing over here, and they like, I just preached my heart out, but you're talking about, and see, sometimes, and it happens in the home too, sometimes you can take on the flavor of so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, and you do not even regard what's going on in your own home about what your spouse is doing for you. So that takes on a lot of flavor, but I think we're living in a day where there's a lot of personality preaching going on. Now, I didn't intend to say this, but I'm going to say this in line with what you just said. I know of a situation where there's a very popular preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. If I called out the name right now, everybody would know him. And there was a revival going on. And on one particular night, the preacher stood up and preached. And the preacher that was not well known, he started talking about some things. And when he started talking about those things, there was like, I'm just going to call it a holy hush. Where the preacher with the personality, the one that everybody knew, came in, said the same thing. Church went crazy.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. If it is a word, and it was an accurate word from God, what difference does it make who said it?
That's my question.
But see, we're living in a day where people are choosing personalities above the word of God. And see, the word of God will not have power as long as that word only has to come through certain vehicles.
Right.
The word is right. If it's the word of God, it's the word of God, whether my wife says it, whether an evangelist says it, whether a preacher says it, the word of God is the word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. My wife has said many things that was a blessing to me. And I listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell her about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people say something, if the Holy Spirit inspired it, you know it.
Right.
It's too far advanced. Mm-hmm. It's not from around. It's knowledge is not from around here.
Right.
And, you know, as a man of God, as a vessel, I yield myself to the Lord because I know that I have to also believe that he'll use me for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that just like I thank God for every soul that speaks things
mm-hmm.
that blesses me. And I believe in letting people know. You know, when they say something that's a blessing, I like to encourage them because they didn't have to do it.
Right.
And I know as a minister, the rocks that the enemy throw at you. You know, when I first started ministering God's word, I knew that I was going to hear from God, and I knew the enemy was going to do something. And he always did. He stirred up trouble to get to drive the word out of my heart. So when I preach, I have to read it off the paper. But people win battles just to tell you God's word. Don't take it lightly.
Right.
Receive it.
Right.
Because that's where you know, the Lord, he don't use everybody you think he will. He used people that, see, sometimes people, they have what you need, and the Lord knows it. Because of their personality, their makeup, they can understand facts from the Lord that others may not. It doesn't matter how far along they've gone or how short of time they've been running. The Lord, you have to hear him.
Right.
When you're listening for him, you will. And I thank God for that. We're gonna mature a whole lot faster as we just yield to the Lord.
Amen.
If you learn to yield, you can do anything. You can do all things through Christ. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. He went from one extreme to another. He know how to be abased and how to abound. That's two extremes. But he learned how to do all things through Christ because he learned how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I know we're out of time. But I, you know, hearing the word of God, it never gets old. And I thank God for every person that hears the word. You can, Brother Tell, close us out. We at the end of the file.
Well, okay. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we come before you and we thank you, Father God, for this radio broadcast. We thank you for the listeners today. And we also thank you for this great radio station. Now, Father, we thank you that you are the God who abounds towards us with all grace and mercy. And we thank you that you've been keeping